citing Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord who heals you. Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 13th, 2015. And after letting Nikki Gumbel off for a month, he's returning with a few more installments from the Alpha Course. And I'll introduce today and tomorrow's topic in just a minute. If you've been tuned in for the last few days, you know last week we celebrated the 19th birthday of Great News Radio. And now in our 20th year of ministry work, we're launching our 2020 Challenge campaign. We're looking for a number of listeners, maybe first-time donors or regular givers that'll increase their amount to donate $20 a month for the next 20 months as we plan and build for the future. It's the 2020 Challenge, $20 for 20 months in this 20th year of ministry. Write us today at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. And in the coming days, we'll highlight some of the ministry needs, from studio equipment upgrades, computer needs, staff additions, singing men sound equipment and choir shell, long-term funding to ensure the continuation of this radio ministry, along with some other specifics that will allow our broadcast to continue in excellence. So pray it up and be a part of our 2020 campaign. And start today. Write us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, before we hear from Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course, addressing today and tomorrow's topic, Does God Heal Today?, I must first say, and it's been a month since I've done this, thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast being heard on Great News Radio was produced by Alpha International, copyright Alpha International 2015, Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Today's broadcast, along with the prior 9 sessions, which included topics, Is There More to Life Than This?, Who is Jesus?, Why Did Jesus Die?, How Can We Have Faith?, Why and How Do I Pray?, Why and How Should I Read the Bible?, How Does God Guide Us?, How Can I Resist Evil?, Why and How Should I Tell Others?, are all archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. Just search one of those titles, and they're all comprised of Monday and Tuesday editions of Mark and Friends. Well, here's Nikki Gumbel addressing today's topic, Does God Heal Today?
Back in 1982, a man called John Wimber came to speak at our church. John Wimber was the pastor of the Vineyard Church in America. And at the time, back then, I was a lay member of the congregation. I was practicing as a barrister. And I have to say, when I saw John Wimber, I was deeply cynical about him for a number of reasons. Partly because of how he looked, and partly because he was an American. Now, as you know, I love the Americans and have since repented of this appalling attitude that I had at the time. And as you know, we've learned a huge amount from them and are deeply grateful to them. But at the time, I was deeply suspicious. He came and he spoke here on the Sunday night on the whole subject of the Holy Spirit and healing, and wonderful things happened. But I still left deeply cynical. The next night, he came to speak in the spring down there, the room down there, to about 70 leaders in the church. And again, I arrived very, very cynical. And he spoke on the subject of healing. And I'd heard talks before on healing, and that was fine. But then he said at the end of the talk, now we're going to have a coffee break, and when we come back from coffee, we're going to do healing. Well, we had never done healing before. And so we had a very long coffee break. Everyone was having more cups of coffee and third cups of coffee. And then we came back in, and the people who'd been at the front felt it would be selfish to keep those seats. And so they'd moved up to the back. And then he said that his team had been praying and that they'd had a number of words of knowledge. And he defined words of knowledge like this: a supernatural revelation, of facts about a person or a situation which is not learnt by the efforts of the natural mind, but is made known by the Spirit of God. This may be in the form of a picture, a word seen or heard in the mind, or a feeling experienced physically. So he said that his team had had a number of these words of knowledge, and then he gave them out. There was no faith in that room, no expectation at that moment of anything, except a slight hope that he might fall flat on his face. Well, he then went back through the list and he said, well, the first person, if I remember rightly, it was a man who'd injured his back, aged 14, chopping wood. And to my amazement, this guy got up and walked down and said that was him. And they prayed for him. Then there was another one, and then there was one, again, about a back problem, which Jeremy Jennings, who is the pastoral director on the staff here, he got up and he came forward. And that night, he received healing for his back. And as they went through this list, and one after another came down and were prayed for, you could feel the level of faith in the room rising. There was one word of knowledge which was not responded to, and that was that there was a word that there was a young woman there who was barren. Well, we're British. We don't even talk about that, let alone come forward in response to a word like that. So he waited. And eventually, a friend of mine called Sarah Wright, and we had no idea that she had been trying for children for some time and that they had been unable to conceive and they were having various tests. And she came forward and he said, what's your name? And she said, Sarah. Now, of course, there's good precedent in the Bible for being called Sarah and being barren. And so he prayed for her, and 9 months later, she gave birth to a little baby boy. Although conception, I hasten to add, didn't take place in the spring. The extraordinary thing is, although there was so much going on that night, and people I knew being healed, of course I know now that they were healed, I didn't know then, it only looked as if they'd been healed, I still left that night deeply cynical. The following evening, he was speaking over in Church House to anyone who was in a small group in the church. We were a much smaller church at that stage, so about 250 people, and we were crammed into Church House. I had been in court that day practicing as a barrister. I was wearing a three-piece pinstripe suit, stiff white collar, looking very pompous, and I was late. Pippa and I were late. And you know how it is in the Anglican Church. We fill up from the back. First people to arrive take the back seats. And so the only seats left when we arrived were the front two seats. So Pippa and I went and sat right in the front. Again, he spoke on the subject of spirit and on healing. And again, he said that his team had had various words of knowledge. And again, he gave out some of these words of knowledge, and people started to stand up all around the room. Then he said, there are 10 people here who have athlete's foot. Now, I happen to have athlete's foot, but I was not going to stand up. 9 people stood. And I was sitting next to my wife, Pippa, and she was going like this. That's you. And I'm saying, no, I'm fine. But eventually the pain in my ribs became so intense that I decided it would be less painful if I did stand up. So I stood. And this very nice American on the ministry team, he came over and he said, would you like me to pray for your athlete's foot? So I said, no, thank you very much indeed. I said, I'm perfectly happy having athlete's foot. I said, in fact, I find it very satisfying being able to scratch it when it itches. So he was extraordinarily gracious because he said, well, is there anything we could pray for? So I said, well, what I would really love to pray for is the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. So he said, okay, we'll pray for that. And he started to pray. All I can say is that after about 30 seconds, I experienced the power of God in a way that I had never experienced before in my life. I know this is not true for everybody, but for me there was a physical manifestation. It was like 10,000 volts of electricity going through my body. In fact, it was so intense, I really couldn't take it anymore. But this American, I think he'd only just joined the ministry team because he only had one prayer that he prayed. And his prayer was, "More power, Lord." And every time he prayed this prayer, the power increased. So eventually, I didn't know what to do. I thought, the only thing I could do was pray against him. So I started praying, "No more power, Lord." But because he only had this one prayer, he carried on, "More power." And eventually there was a kind of shouting match going on between him and me, right in the center. By this stage, everybody else in Church House had stopped praying and was watching what was happening right here. I think John Wimber must have had difficult people in his meetings before, because he said, "Oh, take that one out." So they carried me out through the French windows of Church House. And as I was being carried out, John Wimber said this. He said, "God is giving that man the ability to tell people about Jesus." And although it was never something I'd been was very good at, it was something I really longed for. And so that night when I got home, I started to reread the Bible to see what it says on this whole subject of healing and the kingdom of God. Of course, God heals with the cooperation of doctors and nurses and the medical profession. But the more I've looked, the more convinced I am that we should expect that God will also heal miraculously today. And what I saw as I looked at healing in the Bible, that as you look at the Old Testament, God promises healing for his people. It's his character to heal. He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." It's part of his love for us. And there are several examples of miraculous healing in the Old Testament. For example, Naaman. But if God acted like that in the Old Testament, when there were only glimpses of the kingdom of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we can confidently expect that he will do so even more, now that Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom of God. And the fact that we live now in the age of the Spirit. So when you come to the New Testament, we find the very first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's Gospel are this. Would you like to turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 15? Jesus said this, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God, that expression, or the kingdom of heaven, which Matthew uses interchangeably with kingdom of God, it means exactly the same thing, that is used 82 times in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The word kingdom means not only a political or geographical realm, but carries this notion of ruling and reigning. So the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. And this kingdom, and this is a little bit complex, and a lot of theological books have been written on this subject, but basically this kingdom is both now and not yet. And there are a couple of diagrams, just to try and make it a little bit easier to understand. The Jewish expectation, if you just look at the top diagram for the moment, the Jewish expectation was that this age that we are living in would come to an end, and that would be followed by the age to come. The age to come would be when the Messianic king arrived, and there would be a completed kingdom. And you see there, the orange line is for this age, and the green line is the age to come. That was the Jewish expectation. Jesus' teaching was a modification of this. What Jesus was saying, in a nutshell, was that this age would not come to an end with his arrival. So the first line there, the blue line, is the first coming of Jesus. When Jesus came, he inaugurated the kingdom. So the age to come started. That's the green line that they were expecting. It started, but the previous age, this age, continues until the second coming of Jesus. Then the kingdom of God will be complete. But in the meantime, we live in this period between the times, when the kingdom has come, but it is not yet complete. So we live between the first coming and the second coming, at a time when it's both this age and the age to come. The first time Jesus came, he came in weakness. When he comes back, he'll come with power and great glory. History is moving towards this glorious climax. There are 300 references in the New Testament to the second coming of Christ. When Jesus returns, it's going to be obvious to everyone. History, as we know it, will end. There'll be a universal resurrection and a day of judgment. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus himself will be there together with all those who love and obey him. It'll be a place of intense happiness which goes on forever. And we will have glorious new resurrection bodies that will never die. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All who believe on that day will be totally healed. But until then, there's this element of waiting. As Paul puts it in Romans, he says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. In other words, the total redemption of our bodies has to wait for that second line, the second coming of Christ. And it's important to keep this eternal perspective as we look at this subject of healing. Because at this present time, not everybody is healed. I think of a very good friend of mine called Patrick Pearson Miles. Patrick Pearson Miles often gives this talk on Alpha. Patrick himself has not been healed. He has total kidney failure. He's been on dialysis for, must be about 15 years now. And he's a remarkably brave man, but he's also a man of great faith. And he has prayed, and we have prayed. We have prayed for him over and over again. And he's not been healed. But he was really helped by a conversation that he had with John Wimber, who himself has died. John said to me, the real gift is the gift of salvation, eternal life, all the things that Jesus gives. And if we're healed in this life, that, if you like, is a bonus. So there's this future aspect, but at the present time, what Jesus was saying is the kingdom of God is now, it's here. And what we see are signs of the approaching kingdom. He says the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom is something which can be discovered and experienced now. And throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus saw his ministry as a fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. And he went on to demonstrate this present reality of the kingdom by all that he did during his ministry. Forgiveness of sins, healing the sick, dealing with evil. So we live between the times when the completed kingdom has not yet arrived, but the kingdom of God is near, as Jesus puts it. This age goes on, but the powers of the future age have broken into history. Now, that is what the theologians call an eschatological inbreaking. So there. It's an eschatological inbreaking. Now, what does that mean? It means the eschaton is the end. That's when the second coming of Jesus, the age to come, has broken into history. And therefore, we get a foretaste of it. Let me use an analogy. Today is a heat wave. Glorious summer in England. That in itself is a miracle, I suppose. But we are in the middle of this heat wave. About 3 months ago, I think it was the 19th of March, we had freak weather for England. We had a day when it was 70 degrees, fantastic sunshine, and it felt like summer had arrived. But it hadn't. A week later, it was freezing cold, frosts at night. But that day was an eschatological inbreaking, if you like, of the summer. It was a foretaste. It let us know that summer was coming. It wasn't that far away. And what Jesus' ministry shows is that this future kingdom is coming. It's near. And Jesus demonstrated that by preaching the good news, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons. Over 25% of the Gospels is about the healings of Jesus. Jesus didn't heal everybody in Judea, but we often read of him healing individuals or groups. It was part of his kingdom activity. Would you like to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 23? Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Kingdom was absolutely the central theme in the teaching of Jesus. Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So Matthew tells us that is what Jesus did. Then he sets out how he did that. So chapters 5, 6 and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus taught. Then he tells us how Jesus healed. Chapters 8 and 9 are 9 healing miracles. And then chapter 9, verse 35, is almost identical to Matthew 4, 23. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. That is a grammatical device known as an inclusio. That's to say, Matthew uses the same verse at the beginning as at the end. They didn't have punctuation in those days, so it was a way of saying, I have finished that section. So he says, this is what Jesus did in his ministry. He told people the good news, and he healed the sick.
I'll jump in here, and we'll continue right at this place tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Inclusio, or inclusium. I'd never heard that term before. But as Jesus told the people the good news and healed the sick, are we not also exhorted and even commanded to go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel, bringing those healing words and touch of God to a hurting world? An important calling for all of us. I hope you can tune in again tomorrow to hear the rest of this topic titled Does God Heal Today? By Nikki Gumbel, founder of the Alpha Course. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to hear it again in its entirety, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. Does God Heal Today was the topic. This, along with 8 other sessions that I broke into Monday and Tuesday editions of Mark and Friends, can also be accessed at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. As it says in Romans 8:23, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Full and complete healing will result when we receive our everlasting bodies in the presence of God, that eternal life that is secure for those of us that surrender and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there are great folks that would love to talk with you, and it's a free call. Just dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. And before I close out, I must say thank you for listening to this broadcast, which is a segment from an Alpha Talk and is not Alpha in its entirety. Alpha is a series of interactive sessions exploring the Christian faith, typically including food, a short talk and discussion in small groups where you can share your thoughts. Find an Alpha near you at alphausa.org. This broadcast, heard on Great News Radio, was produced by Alpha International. Copyright Alpha International 2015. Alpha Talks 2002 to 2006. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for the second part of Nikki Gumbel's presentation on the topic, Does God Heal Today?